Welcome to Animal Concerns of Texas, ACT Radio. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Lenny.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we talk about how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is the healthiest for humans and the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Wayne Pacelli, author of the new book, Humane Economy. He's also president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States and has an earlier book called The Bond. That's a little later on the show, but first some news.
Recently, the Center for Biological Diversity sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Freedom of Information Act, requesting that the agency hand over public records that explain why it pulled the plug on the Red Wolf Recovery Program. Early last fall, the center requested public records related to the service's decision. In the 7 months that followed, the service has sent a total of only 8 documents to the center and continues to ignore the Freedom of Information Act's mandated deadlines. The red wolf is now one of the world's most endangered carnivores, with as few as 45 wolves remaining in the wild. The species was declared endangered in 1973, and in a final attempt to save it, 17 wild red wolves were captured for captive breeding. Wolf releases began in Carolina's Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge in 1987. The population grew to more than 130 wolves in the wild as recently as 2012, but it's now declined by 50% following the service's recent actions to curtail the program. A spokesman for the Center of Biological Diversity states that they don't know why the service eliminated the recovery program coordinator position or why it stopped offering rewards for information on poaching cases or why it ended its highly successful pup fostering program. In the wake of political pressure from North Carolina and anti-wildlife individuals, the Fish and Wildlife Service has stopped virtually all aspects of the recovery program for red wolves and is conducting a feasibility review as a pretext for further dismantlement of the program. The service eliminated the program's recovery coordinator in 2014 and stopped the introduction of new red wolves into the wild in July 2015. The agency ended its coyote sterilization program to prevent hybrid animals from harming the red wolf's gene pool, curtailed wildlife enforcement investigation of wolf deaths, and stopped offering rewards to the public to help bring poachers to justice. To learn more about this issue, go to biologicaldiversity.org.
Modern-day meat production is unsustainable and unhealthy, not to mention inhumane. But getting people to abandon animal products is a major challenge. The Good Food Institute, GFI, is a groundbreaking new nonprofit dedicated to finding better sources for familiar foods. The group, run by longtime vegan advocate Bruce Friedrich as executive director, is all about promoting a new paradigm for the consumption of meat, dairy, and eggs. GFI is committed to supporting cutting-edge companies that are working to create plant-based and lab-grown versions of traditional animal products. Plant-based alternatives to meat and dairy are becoming more and more popular, far outpacing their animal-based counterparts, which are experiencing stagnating sales. The focus of the Good Food Institute is to accelerate the market so that when consumers go to the grocery store or go out to eat, they think about eating plant-based meat, dairy, or eggs, and so that the cultured alternatives gain broad acceptance as quickly as possible. GFI also wants to promote meat alternatives as tastier, more convenient, and cheaper. The plant and cultured meat movement is clearly gaining momentum in the mainstream, with companies like Gardein, No Evil Foods, and Beyond Meat concocting very realistic meats from plant-based proteins, and tech groups like Memphis Meats and Impossible Foods redefining how meats are made. GFI has a lengthy list of initiatives in the works, including hosting events at colleges and universities to attract scientists and entrepreneurs to the plant-based market, and to provide support to food startups. GFI is also working to get more sustainable products into restaurants, retailers, and institutions. With everything at stake and so many positive developments, the future looks bright. Friedrich predicts that in 10 years, 15% or more of all meat, dairy, and egg consumption will be plant-based or cultured. That will have a dramatic positive effect on the health of consumers, the global poor, our climate, and the animals.
When we hear the term puppy mill, we often think about particularly problematic states like Pennsylvania and Missouri. But puppy mills can be found near us in New Mexico and Texas. Earlier this year, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, or ALDF, sent an undercover investigator to capture video at a puppy mill in McIntosh, New Mexico, Southern Rock Airedales, after receiving multiple complaints from the facility's customers and visitors. The video showed deplorable conditions, uncollected feces, dirty drinking water green with algae, often frozen, all in a tragic shantytown shelter where temperatures fall below 30 degrees at night. Trash and debris litter the breeding facility, while dogs with dirty, matted fur visibly shiver in desolate pens. In sum, the investigator witnessed and recorded multiple significant violations of the Animal Welfare Act. And still, in this heartbreaking setting, perfectly indicative of the operation's priorities and motivations, Southern Rock's representative offered to sell the investigator an Airedale puppy for $1,000. Sadly, the state of Southern Rock's facilities are all too typical. In fact, relative to other larger puppy mills uncovered in the U.S., the condition at Southern Rock's operations are far from the worst. Contrary to common expectation, breeders in the U.S. operate with little actual oversight or enforced regulation. Endorsements like AKC registered or USDA license mean next to nothing, especially about the quantity of dogs kenneled within an operation or about the quality of the care they receive after they enter the world. While every major animal advocacy and veterinary organization encourages adoption rather than purchase of companion animals, still more than one-fourth of dogs brought into American homes each year are purchased from breeders, most often as puppies. This represents a huge for-profit market, as well as an opportunity for unscrupulous breeders to operate puppy mills with little heed for the well-being of their products. And because puppy mills routinely churn out unhealthy, miserable dogs, their dissatisfied buyers too often end up dumping those dogs into the nation's overcrowded shelters. In this environment, ALDF is working to effect change on behalf of the Airedales at Southern Rock, and also in other states like California and Pennsylvania. ALDF's legal experts are working every day to ensure that the nation's animal protection laws are enforced, and when they're not, they take action. The passing of pet store, dog, and cat sales bans in over 100 cities and counties nationwide suggests that, along us and common sense, history is on the side of stronger animal protection laws.
Stay with us. Coming up next, we feature a conversation with Wayne Pacelli, the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. Wayne is also the author of the book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals and Our Call to Defend Them. He's also the author of the new book, The Humane Economy, How Innovators and Enlightened Consumers Are Transforming the Lives of Animals. That's next on ACT Radio.